Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Artists Helping Artists. We are the number one art show on Blog Talk Radio. This is Leslie Seda in South Pasadena, California, and I have my very talented artist friend, Dreema Toll Perry, on the other line. Good morning and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. It's a nice thing to be kicking off the new year. We took a couple of weeks hiatus from doing AHA, and so it's nice to be back online.
It is nice, but it was a well-deserved break, I must say, and you got to spend time with family, as we both did, so it's really nice, and I'm very excited about this new year. It is going to be a crazy first quarter for both of us, but that's what we like best, correct?
When you're doing the things you love, it's all good. It's
mm-hmm.
all good, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, Dreema, I know you wanted to mention the wonderful little holiday gift we had for everybody on our December show, so why don't you highlight that to get started out?
Okay. We at the end of the year, we had done the last show, which was, I think, mid-December, and we had paired up with Doug Ferrick of Art Marketing Association, who has a wonderful site that has tons of great information. It is not free, but our gift is free. So if you want to go in and see what all that Doug has to offer on the Art Marketing Association, you get 3 free months, and there's absolutely no strings attached, because I know a lot of things, if we go online, you're like, oh, yeah, but they're wanting this. He doesn't want anything. I mean, you
mm-hmm.
do have to put your email in so that you can have access to it. But if you go to the artisthelpingartist.net blog, you will see the post for that that actually tells you the password to get in, which is Happy Artist, all lowercase. And that password will get you full access to everything he has to offer for 90 days. And there's amazing information on there. Just last week I went in and he had a new thing that he had found of things that people will do for $5. And it's pretty amazing. Everything from designing a blog to doing a logo to doing short videos. It's amazing, all the information that's out there. And it was a site that he said he had used it so often he actually forgot to mention it. So
mm-hmm.
those are the kind of things that you're going to pick up. Some of them may be for you, some of them not, but it's all good and it's all free. And it's our gift from Artists Helping Artists for our listeners for the year. So, and I don't know how long Doug's going to let that run, so I would suggest that sooner is better than later to go ahead and go over and get in if you want to have access to some great marketing information for 2012.
I think that would be a wonderful idea. And it's so funny, I have to tell you a great story. In the last month, I've asked Dreema like 3 different times, how did you learn how to do that? And what was your response to me, Dreema?
Artist Marketing Association. Doug has a little video clip. It's really easy. I think the last one was something I had to do with my signature, and I was like, I think
you said duh.
No, I didn't. I might have thought it, but I didn't say it.
Yeah. Well deserved, though. Touché, my friend. But no, it's a fantastic resource, and that's what this show is all about, sharing resources with all of our art friends. And I have to say, we have to do a show here in a couple weeks because I came up with all these great things over the holidays, new ideas, new apps, new everything. So it's kind of interesting how new things keep coming our way, which is really wonderful. But no, I think we have a wonderful show today. We have our first artist calling in from an international destination, so I don't want to keep him waiting any longer. And Dreema, I'm going to let you introduce Rick, our guest today.
Okay, and I'm going to read a little bit of a brief bio by Rick, and I do want to say by way of introduction, first let me try to say his name correctly. I told him before we came on air that I probably had been really doing it not its full justice by the way I had been pronouncing it, but you have to forgive me, Rick, because it is laced with a heavy Kentucky accent, but we're going to give it our best shot now. It's Rick Naguilero.
Oh, excellent.
Perfect.
And, yay. But just to a testimony to how things come about with art online these days is we met Rick via Facebook, and we were talking about it again before we came on air, and I think the initial contact probably came from Rick posting some comments or saying some things about Artists Helping Artists Radio
mm-hmm.
And starting up a dialogue. And that connection, it's interesting because Rick was someone who was consistent in his contact and in the dialogue back and forth. And I was watching what he was doing and started going to his site and seeing some of the amazing things that he's done with his social media, his site. It's very impressive with how he reaches out, how he connects with international collectors. He does a lot with video. And the more I watched it, I thought, this is someone that I want to know more about their processes. As we always say, behind the scenes at AHA, we actually are looking for information ourselves and use the show as an excuse to find out. No,
we know it all. Come on.
When I was watching him, I thought, this is someone who is dedicated themselves to doing this, and they have information if they're willing to come out and talk with the other artists, I think, that would be helpful to the artists at large. And so anyway, I reached out and contacted Rick a few months back and asked him if he would be willing to make the call and be with us on AHA, and he was very generous in saying that he would. And so I'm really, really so happy to have him, because I think it's going to give us a new twist and new information. And plus, we do have a lot of international listeners for mm-hmm. Artists Helping Artists. And so much of what we do is just based here in the U.S. of artists that we talk to, that I'm really thrilled, even for that reason, to have him as part of what we're doing here, because it is a international community. And that's the beautiful thing about being online and doing what we do, is it truly connects us with artists around the world. And that is just, we've learned so much from each other. But Rick was born in Lisbon, Portugal, and at the age of 2, he moved to Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, with his parents. He stayed there for the next 15 years of his life and absorbed the exotic surroundings of the land and its people. It's a multiracial melting pot with its rich traditions and customs. And growing up there exposed the artist to an exotic variety of influences in his later work. He returned to Europe in 1989 and attended high school in Portugal in the arts area, where he's still at school. He was awarded the first prize on a short animation competition. The desire to see more of the world and pursue further education led him to apply to the arts course in Wales, UK. So in 1992, after receiving a scholarship, he began attending college at Swansea's, I'm probably not pronouncing that right, Rick, and you can correct me, Institute of Higher Education, University of Wales, specializing in illustration and fine arts. In 1998, he started a painting apprenticeship with English-German painters Christine and Tom Bund at their Centre Garden Studio. And hang on a second. I've hid the second part from myself. A friendship and working relation with these people that has lasted up to this present date. And then since 2005, Rick has been embraced painting full-time, steadily producing art, having exhibited his work and being collected across the world. And he's a member of the Cloud Appreciation Society, a bridge society devoted to cloud lovers, which how beautiful is that? And he resides now between Portugal and Sweden, so he's truly an international artist. And so welcome, Rick Nogueira.
Thanks for having me. Very exciting.
It is. I have to confess, and I'm going to tell a funny on myself here. After I had contacted you and had extended dialogue, and even though I had watched some of the videos, I had kind of forgotten, and I thought, I need to go back and make sure that I'm going to be able to understand him, because me being Kentucky-born, a lot of times I'm not real good at picking up. And I was greatly relieved. I thought, I can understand him, so he'll probably be able to understand me, which was the bigger part of the problem. So
no comment.
No comment.
But anyway, I'm going to...
Yeah, well, totally, totally. Oh, we've got a lot of information to cover today, and I'm anxious to get started. We've talked at the beginning here, but I want to go ahead and just launch with the first question, Rick, and turn you loose here. Tell us when you first started using the Internet as a source to build your art career.
Okay, mainly 2007, because I moved to Sweden and I wanted to be in touch with friends. And then some of the galleries I was working back in Portugal, they were doing like a terrific job with their online presence, via newsletters, websites, etc., and that kind of, you know, made me realize that there's something there, you know, that I should be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd say the biggest inspiration that I had to use the Internet came from a writer, actually. I don't know if you know him, Paulo Coelho.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote The Alchemist.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the way he was expanding and connecting with his readers online is just, it's fantastic. I mean, he's everywhere. He started with his blog, via YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and it was just incredible to see the numbers growing so fast for me, and how connected he was and how in touch he was with his audience, basically. And then I also noticed that he had no fear to share his work online for free. He has a second website, which is called Pirate Coelho. That's it. And actually, his publishers, funny enough, you know, they freaked out because, you know, how we're going to make money and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he just said, you know, just let me try this out. And it's my work, you know. But as an example, in Russia, from 10,000, I think it's 10,000 books sold when one of these books was released. Within a couple of months, because of just releasing his books on a pirate form, it went up to 10 million.
Wow.
Yeah. It's insane. And I get a lot of people, you know, like artists saying, you know, you should be careful sharing your work online and things like that. But I think the more you share it, the more, you know, if people really love it, they'll go for the original stuff, you know.
Of course.
And you can,
no doubt.
I think it's, yeah, you can make it, you know, something nice enough. Like my work, I release it on Facebook, good enough for you to have a pirate print of, I don't know, I have to say in centimeters, maybe 20 by 20, 30 by 30 centimeters tops, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And people say, well, you shouldn't, you know, an artist friend of mine here, he says, you should put really low resolution and make them tiny. And I mean, if you do that, I mean, nobody's going to see it. So I follow this philosophy of Paulo Coelho, which is like, let them steal, and if they really love it, they'll give something back. You know,
the
pirate philosophy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Rick, how big of a role does the internet play in the overall marketing of your work? I mean, is that primarily how you sell your art?
I'd say 50-50. You know, mm-hmm. the brick and mortar gallery stuff. It used to be the main thing for me, but after a while, I actually started doing it so well that it's actually overcome the money I make from the galleries. Basically, it's interesting at that point. Actually, one of the galleries here in Sweden, the director, whose name is, never mind his name, he actually asked me to start helping with the gallery's social strategies and things like that, because he saw, like, well, you're pretty good at that, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, you're doing a better job of selling work than I am. I was like, okay, really, you shouldn't tell me that, right? I thought that was a little bit too much.
I'm going to guess, Rick, that even at 50-50, that 50% of what's being sold in galleries is somewhat maybe being driven by what you're doing online as well.
Right. And now I'd say, I don't know if it's because of the times we're in, like people say and things like that, but like actually now it's about 80 to 20%. I'm selling more online than the actual gallery that I'm with, which for me is a little bizarre.
Yeah.
Strange.
Well, it's a testimony to the power of being online. When did you first get on board with Facebook and realize how it could be used to connect with collectors? Because I'm on Facebook and see that you're a frequent poster. You have a real presence online. It's not just that you're just slinging stuff out there, but there's a real methodology to what you're doing,
right,
and there's a consistency to what you're doing. And obviously, at some point, there has been an aha moment for you of saying, this is going to be a major tool or a major player in developing my career online. So when did that happen?
I first joined, like I said, like the internet in general was 2007, just to keep in touch with friends. And I heard of Facebook, that people stay in touch and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And since I was away from home, that's why I started, basically.
Ah,
and of course,
yeah.
Because of Paulo Coelho's, and I also read this book. It's one of your guests, actually, Allison's. I read it in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
I bumped into that book, and I thought, you know, I better get my act together here and give it a shot. So, but mainly, like, with marketing stuff, I started only in 2009, so it's not that long, I'd say.
Yeah.
And one of the main things that really went, like, apart from Paulo Coelho, it's a girl that you guys have to see. You have to check this out. It's on YouTube. And I get nothing from this. She doesn't even, you know, we don't even have contact, but I just love her. It's Doll's Art Diary. I don't know if you've heard of it.
No. Can you spell that for us, Rick?
Huge.
What is it?
Like Valerie, but it's V-A-L.
Okay.
Doll's, and then you go Art Diary. You should have,
okay,
you know, you should really try to get her on the show. And she's like one of the YouTube stars, but actually she's an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And her first video is amazing. You know, it's like with the starving artist thing, and then YouTube saved me, and things like that. But anyway, it's ridiculous. The amount of work that she's done, and I mean, it's huge. You really have to see that. And when I saw that, you know, I was like, wow, maybe she did a video, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I saw how well the YouTube thing was doing for her Facebook presence also. So I thought, we've got to get on Facebook right now, you know?
Yeah.
One thing pulls the other.
So with Facebook, what have you found to be an effective way to use it as an artist? Is it just going on and talking a lot? Is it posting your art? Is it having a million friends? Is it posting on other people's walls? What is it?
I think the word is quality, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not quantity. It doesn't matter how many thousand friends you have. You want to grow that with quality friends, basically, or people that are actually interested. You know, so an effective way, I'd say, share your soul, basically, your personality, your thoughts. Be human. Connect with people from like a real place, not a please buy this stuff. You know.
Rick, that you belong to a whole bunch of like art groups.
Yeah, I was gonna get to that, and if you could go to my page now, I did something. Are you in front of a computer or something?
Yeah, but I think that's going to be hard for Dreama. How do you want to handle that with people who aren't?
Well, obviously, some people are listening to it live, and some people will go back and listen to it recorded. So go ahead and save the page. Did you go ahead and get the link up, Leslie?
I did.
Okay,
there's
so
a link on the
this post for the Rick Nagulera show. There's going to be the link for it. But just go ahead and verbally say the link if somebody can actually access it right now, Rick, while they're listening live.
Right, but I wasn't talking about that now. It was actually the Facebook page because I was
going to
go through. I made 5 posts today just for the show.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I could go through them and explain exactly what to do without too much talk. You know, just go do this, do that type of thing. And people can listen in whenever. I mean, I'll leave this page as it is until for a day or two. So people can go back and have a look. I think that sounds like a good
choice. Sounds good.
So
that's one of the things we want to cover, actually, effectively, how to use Facebook to promote your art.
The best way is to actually go there and show it to you right now, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I have just 5 posts. So if you open my page, which is facebook.com Nagulera, you'll see the first up post. Just let me know when you're there.
Go ahead.
Yeah?
Yep.
Okay. So, for example, the first post here is Nagulera Vier, the whispering voice. Now, this whispering voice is a friend that I made here on Facebook, for example. Someone I met that started, you know, checking out my work, enjoyed it, and we've become friends. And it's one of my collectors now. She bought 3 large paintings. And she's also a writer. And this is a book that she wrote, and she commissioned the cover for it. So this is just to show you what can happen on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can make good friends, and you can make business as well. So the second post I have here, what I wanted to say is, like, I make albums.
Mm-hmm.
I don't just do a lot of people feed their Facebook posts from blogs and things like that. And I think that's good, but you should create these albums. Like this one's, this is not an album. This is actually the app, the Pavement app. The second post. Can you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But back to the albums that you create. You create albums for that basically are mostly photographs of your paintings, obviously.
Yes. And the reason for that is when someone shares, it always links back to my page.
Mm-hmm.
If you post it on your wall, it disappears on the feed within minutes. It goes to La La Land.
Right.
If someone visits your page, usually if they're really interested, they'll go through the photos. Once they hit the photos, they're gonna see the albums, and each one, you know, they describe different things. Like, for example, this one that says Soul. It's my sold album, recent and past sold paintings.
So it's the Art of Nagulera sold, so it's all the ones that have sold.
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay.
And so if you open the photograph, you'll see the first thing that says is a self-created comfort zone by Nagulera, blah, blah, blah. To get limited edition print of this painting, go to, and then I have a hot link straight to my website.
Mm-hmm.
So when people share this, they have this option. And another thing, if you keep scrolling down, sorry. I always make sure to put dimensions and things like that, which I see a lot of artists on Facebook. They just put the photos without anything, which I find it strange.
So you need to include the name of the painting, the size, and do you put the price on there too?
Yes, on the for sale, always. You want to keep it clear and as possible. You want to be open about these things so people don't think you're making different prices in outside galleries or in Facebook. It has to be, everything has to be even.
Right.
So the text that I have here, I make a description of the painting, and I think that's one of the most important things because that's what will make people talk about it, relate to it or not. So
now, on your Facebook page, you have a store, Shop Available Paintings. Do you put every single painting in here?
When on the store?
On the store?
No.
Okay,
it's
just curious.
Like, I keep it short, you know. I think I saw that you had 8 pages, Leslie,
mm-hmm.
your face, right? And that's good if you want to keep it open. But I try to, you know, I read it somewhere that it's good to, like, have a limited choice.
Right.
Not to confuse people too much. I think I live, I have the same thing on my website. I don't have more than 9. You know?
That's interesting.
So,
and I, one of the things, while we're on the albums, I kind of want to clarify, make sure I'm understanding it. When you, instead of just posting a painting with verbiage about it in the feed, which is what most of us are doing a lot of times, is as our status, basically, like, here's my new painting, and I was inspired to paint it because whatever, whatever, you're actually creating that first and putting it in an album and then sharing it up as kind of your status, so that then it's got all of that information with it, and it's easier when, if people click on it, it's going to take them to that album of all of that stuff.
And when they share it, which is the most important, when they share it to groups, when they share it all over the internet, it'll go back to your albums and to more things. When you put it on a feed, if you don't do this, first of all, it's hard for people to see it, so you're playing like a numbers game there.
Right.
And if you have it in an album, you can do repeat posts of the same painting, which is very important. So I usually do it in the morning, at night, and the day after. And sometimes I have, let's say, 60 paintings here, which gives me a run for a month of repeat every day posts.
Okay, wait.
Whether
so
I have a new painting or not.
So if you have a new painting, you will post it on your wall multiple times, repeat, or
post it in various groups? Yes. On the day of the release, which usually is on Tuesdays.
Mm-hmm.
So on Tuesdays, it will come from my blog. It will come from various parts. It will come from Twitter. But on Facebook itself, I'll do it at least 3 or 4 times in different times of the day.
Which is so important to remember because people are using Facebook at different times, and especially when you're talking internationally, they are online at different times today. And if you're only posting one time, one spot, you're probably kind of hitting the same target group of people each time, and then there's a whole bunch of people that are not seeing what you've got to offer.
Exactly, and that's why I think for me the best time is the, you know, so it doesn't affect my painting time or anything like that, is when I wake up and when I go to bed, actually. That's the main time I do the marketing.
I have
that's
to ask a dumb question. If I scroll through your wall, I don't see the same painting being posted over and over and over again.
Perhaps not today, because I made this on purpose today so you could see different albums.
Got it. Okay.
Right. And what you're going to see mostly is one in the morning, one a night, and I also migrated from here to my profile, the exact same post. So and I used yesterday's, so it keeps cycling.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, and if you scroll down to the same post we were in, then you have the tags. You can tag people in each photo, right, which is a good thing. But you can't just start tagging everybody because they'll hate you forever. So what you should do...
That's a really tough, because I get tagged in photos, and I have to say, it really bothers me when
it
has nothing to do with me.
Especially if the artist is really rude.
No, well, it doesn't matter. I know why people do it, but it kind of, I don't know. I don't think it's proper etiquette.
No, you have the loved friends that want to send you hearts and things like that. You know, there's ways to block that, but we're not going to get into them now. But here, the tagging for us is important because, What I did is I actually wrote every single person in the beginning that I thought it could be an ambassador. You know, can I tag you in my paintings?
Can you ask
the wall? Absolutely, absolutely.
Oh, that's good to hear. That's great.
Yeah, can I make my can I make your wall my gallery?
Uh-huh.
You know? And they're really kind, and because mm-hmm. they enjoyed what I was doing, they said, "Sure, no problem." And
what a great,
you know,
way to do that! And
yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Rick. That's a really, really thoughtful, right way to approach something like that, because you do want to expand your art, but at the same time, you have to honor other people's space, and that's a perfect solution to that.
Mm-hmm.
I think so, and. Once I asked him, he said it was okay, because what you have to understand is once the conversation starts on the photograph of your painting, you keep getting notified on your inbox all the time.
Right.
That can be very
mm-hmm.
distressful for the person. So if they
yeah.
say okay, what it becomes a gang of people that already get to know each other, and they start having conversations. And
mm-hmm.
I love it when I look underneath the paintings and people are talking to each other about the paintings, about, you know, how they relate. And that's what you want to do, to share and you know, create something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But,
one
yeah,
of my biggest takeaways from just this part, Rick, in talking to you, is that for people using Facebook for their art, is if they create the painting and the information and insert it into an album, they're really getting a lot of mileage off of that effort. Because you're right, when
Absolutely.
You just post to your status something like that, it goes into Never Never Land within minutes to never be heard of again. Yes.
Dream, it takes 2 minutes to do it, and you can do it from your iPhone when you're walking your dog.
Yes.
You know, if you have a busy person, you just go like, where's my album? Here, pow. You know, and
yeah.
you, of course, you want to have some sort of content to go with a photo, like say something interesting. Or
right.
And in my case, I love quotes, and I spend a great deal of time trying to find quotes that inspire me to actually paint and to go with my painting. So I have a set of them ready. And sometimes I share my own thoughts about it, I ask questions and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's one of the things I enjoy about your post, Rick, quite often, is the quotes that you have with them, because they catch my eye and my heart when I look at them. And I, those things that cause you to pause and reflect, and it's good, which your paintings do that as well. But I like the marriage of them that you do online so well.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
No, that's terrific.
Well, the other album I have here... Sorry.
You have a fan painting album, and I think I saw, right?
Yeah, there's a here, Nagoletto in Your Home Collector's Photos. This is really important. I mean, whenever someone buys a painting from you, try and get them to, well, I write to them and go, please, 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 you know, send me a photo with you and the painting you bought in your home so I can use it on Facebook. Of course, most people don't want to do that because they don't want to share their, you know, private home and things. But some want, some will do. And
but what you're doing is you're creating an experience where people see your art in a home, and you're taking them one step closer to perhaps doing the same thing. It's a great idea.
Exactly. And it makes them, gives them safety. You know, okay, this guy's not a crook or anything like that. You know?
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Especially when you're selling international, it's a big thing, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you can actually go after someone in your own country, but across the sea is a little hard. So
right.
the testimonial thing is a number one, you know, priority. So this is very important. One thing about Facebook is they keep changing these rules and these tabs and things. And they had a great one, which was called reviews, right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember
yeah.
that one? Anyway, I had a lot of reviews there. And eventually I got a notice saying, like, they were going to take it away. Unfortunately, I completely forgot about it. And luckily I had, you know, taken some of them and put it on my website, copy
mm-hmm.
paste.
Yeah.
And, but yes,
yeah, gone.
Gone. Gone.
The joys and horrors of Facebook.
Completely.
Do you
keep an eye open.
We've covered a lot of advantages, Rick. Do you see any drawbacks to using Facebook? I don't think that you probably do, but that
well,
would probably be one
like
that they
that?
Do change the rules. Yeah, they change. They're still growing, so they're obviously still changing as they evolve.
I think by now I'm too grateful to even complain about anything.
Yeah, really. No, it's all free,
well,
too. How much time
exactly.
do you spend maintaining a presence on Facebook, Rick, in an average week?
About
per day.
I'd say, per day it's easier for me. I'd say about an hour in the morning.
Okay.
I put that
mm-hmm.
in the schedule.
That's good.
If you go to my website, now we can see that link. Well, you have it on your show, but if you go to my website, I made a whole thing with my schedule, and I think that'll help people have a good idea.
Do you have to discipline
you know,
yourself?
Absolutely. It's a nightmare. Otherwise, I'm completely like...
Addicted like the rest of us, maybe?
Yeah, completely. Yeah. Like internet junkie, completely.
I got tickled when I was reading your thing last night. You said something about it. If you sometimes have trouble escaping the claws, I think is what you used of being online. Do this. So,
come
good,
on, it's
good
so
information.
Easy, so easy to just get lost in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now Rick, how do you manage your profile versus your fan page?
Sorry, before that I didn't answer it. So it's an hour in the morning, an hour in the evening.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So it's quite a lot of time if you think about it.
But
it's not my painting time.
Right. But how do you manage the fan page versus the profile page? It looks like I'm trying to look at both and get a sense that most of your art is only on your fan page, correct?
No. What I do is I break the rules, and people do this at your own risk if you want. But what I do is the night post or the last post that I had on my page in the morning goes to my profile or my timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And then I keep the circle going like that. So I post on both, because when you do that, people in your timeline, if they're not part of your page,
right?
If they've never seen your art before,
mm-hmm.
they'll click on the photo, which takes you back to the page, and then if they like it, they become a fan, which is great.
And if somebody is just starting out, would you tell them to? Obviously, you have to start with the profile, but would you tell them to do a fan page as well? Of course.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And the thing is, the profile. Now, they have the subscribe thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is another reason why people should post their art there as well. You just have to be careful with the for sale sign.
Right.
You know, I try to mostly post sold stuff. You know, brag a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Things about shows and photos and videos, you know, from my YouTube. All of that is good. So you can do that. Just don't go, like, buy this too much because... Yeah, could be trouble.
Well, technically you're not supposed to, but you can certainly say, here's today's painting and put a link to where you buy it. I mean, there's nothing wrong with doing that.
Yeah, I think
on your profile.
I've never had a problem. So,
I mean, I've never heard of anyone having a problem as well. So I think it's pretty, I think it's exciting, but it is a big, big project managing Facebook time, because I do believe it's truly one of the fastest, if not best, places to get the word out about your art. So,
and they get into a billion people. I mean, it's a gallery. Imagine that as a gallery with a billion people.
Okay, so
I can even imagine that.
Gosh, it's so true. It's so true. Yeah.
So what advice do you have for artists seeking to connect and grow their customer base via Facebook? So everybody, you know, if they have their profile, they have their fan page, how do you increase your subscribers? How do you increase your fans? Quality ones, as you mentioned earlier.
Your fans, one way to do that is what we just spoke about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get your posts always from your page to your profile. Always from the page to the profile, to the timeline.
Mm-hmm.
By that, when people look at it, it gets linked back to your page. That's one way to get new people.
And can I just say and make sure everybody understands, when we use the term timeline, timeline is the new format for your profile page that a lot of people have made the transformation. It's something very easy to do. It's got a very large horizontal picture at the top with a little pop-up box, and it's basically kind of the new format for a profile, and I'm assuming here within a month's time everyone will just be referring to their profiles as timeline. So.
Mm-hmm. Sorry about that. I forgot about that.
No, I just thought that maybe some people weren't aware of it. And you'll see it. When you're on Facebook, you'll go to somebody's profile and think, wow, that looks really great, or that looks different. And that's why, because they've moved over to the new format. But I get that question a lot. How do I get more fans? I know it's just doing the right thing, but even there are still some people that I think are looking for the magical advice.
It's hard work. It doesn't make
it
sense, really. You know, that's it. If you're not willing to do that, if you don't have a social bond to yourself, then I think you better do something else, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Or rely on a gallery just to do it for you. Or I don't know. I think nowadays you have to try and learn to do these things.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's one of the things. I think when you're working, if you're doing work online and not so much trying to sell your work through galleries, you have to realize that you're actually doing the job of the gallery. And so there has to be time that's dedicated to promoting and your own work, because that's what you that's what happens for you ideally when you're in a gallery, is they're handling that part of it so that you can stay, you know, holed up in your studio. But if you're not, if you're really, you know, bent on selling your work online, then this is kind of part and parcel of it. And I know in your we had touched on it earlier, Rick, but you actually, you have a book coming out called Share Your Soul, Sell Your Art. And out of that, you've actually got an excerpt that's is the link is on Artists Helping Artists on the post for today for your show. And it's quite extensive, I think, pretty in-depth and good reading on how you go about kind of setting a schedule for yourself, because Leslie had touched on something earlier, which you also use. We all see there are a lot of groups to join and that you're requested to join when you're on Facebook for painting, for whatever your field of art may be, whether you're a jewelry maker or whatever you're into. There are a lot of groups, for different groups being formed daily for those things, and you're either in them or getting invited to join them. And I know that you use those groups as well to post and you actually kind of have your layout in your thing. And can you kind of tell us a little bit more about that part of the process, how you work that in terms of growing your Facebook presence?
Sure. About the groups, for example, in the page, one of the posts that I'm going to leave there, you say the you can see that there's 15 shares. And if people want to go there and join those groups, all you have to do is click those shares and they'll show up. Anyway, the groups, you shouldn't just pick art groups, I don't think, because mostly it's artists, even though artists also are interested in buying art. What you should do is try and focus on, you know, your work and go like, hold on, what do I do? In your case, for example, you paint boats or scenes of friends. In my case, I like motivational speakers and things like that, quotes. So you should look for groups that have things to do with that.
And
because I think that's where you're going to get the people that really love it.
How would you tell somebody to look for a group? What? How would you tell them to do that?
Well, to look for a group, you go to the search bar on Facebook at the top, and you write anything, for example, French boats. It'll give you, I'm giving a two thing for both of you, French and boats. So what do you call that?
And you get, I love French boats.
Rabbits or whatever. Yeah. Anyway, so you put it on search, and you'll come up pages, groups, people. It's quite amazing because basically it just show up, and then you contact the administrator, and you don't want to just start posting. If it's an open group, you can join it straight away. But you don't want to start being rude again and, you know, posting stuff. You should contact whoever's in charge and go like, is it okay? You know, I have paintings here. They're about boats and or French sceneries, you know. And most of the time, people are really helpful when you ask. And I think that's how you go about it. And what happens is that if it's a very large group and if it's active, I mean, you have groups on Facebook that have thousands of people in it. And, well, of course, if they see your work and it relates to the subject, so they'll like it. You get fans from that and sales.
And it's such a strong point that you're making. It does put – are we still connected?
Okay.
Just want to make sure we were all still together. I think it makes such a strong point because you had suggested today when we did the AHA show, some of the art groups that you were belong to that you sent that information to us that we could post, because obviously with the Artists Helping Artists show, this information
relevant.
Is relevant to artists. And so those art groups are the ones that we wanted to post to, because posting in, for instance, in a thing about France or sailboats, they're not going to be as interested in the topic of today's show for artists selling their work online as. So I think it's really relevant to be thinking, for the artist to be thinking about what groups of people would be interested in the genre of paintings that they're doing. And in your case, you said motivational for you, because a lot of your paintings go around that thinking higher in life and the visionary kind of thing. And so to be putting your artwork in front of that audience is a perfect match.
Yes, and the one mistake that an artist can do, I mean, if you want support, like a support group, then you should join a group of the surrealists and, you know, things like that, the plein air artists. But all you're going to get there mostly is support.
Right.
And share ideas. And, you know, and I think that's very valid, and it's a great part of Facebook also. But when it comes to selling your work, I would look at your own work and go like, where can I, you know, fish some interests.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that would be, you know, the common interest people, really.
Right.
Really, really
helpful. I'm making myself understood. I hope so.
Very helpful.
Okay, another thing I use here is an app called Instagram. Have you heard of it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is awesome. What you do is, like, again, the album story, but in this case, I make a little tiny frame around my paintings, and I put my the title and my Facebook page in it and my website, and I put it on Instagram. And that also brings people from there, which is a lot of people that are interested in visual things, and we're visual artists, and that brings people back to the Facebook page. So I've met a bunch of people there also. They're awesome. So I would advise Instagram. Another one is called Pinterest. Have you heard of it?
I have.
Pinterest?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Another one that is awesome, but you have to be really careful also because you're not supposed to self-promote too much. And since we're like shameless self-promoters,
mm-hmm.
it could be a little tricky. So the way I'm going around that is I'm promoting other people's art and a bunch of other things that I actually have genuine interest on. And then, of course, I dropped like one or two of my paintings there and hope for the best.
So Pinterest is Pinterest, right?
Yeah, it's a great app.
Yeah, I've heard about that. Just
I've heard of both of those, but had not really thought of them in terms of for exposure for art. And so it's good to know.
This one, you have Evernote, which is a great thing to keep your files.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But Pinterest is about the same thing. You basically have visual things of interest to you organized in albums. So for me, it works fantastic.
Wonderful.
Another advice I'd say is don't try and be a jack of all trades with all these social media channels and all these apps and stuff. I mean, try and have a presence as much as you can in all the channels, but focus on one. In my case, I focus on Facebook because that's what's working for me. But if Twitter works for you, do the Twitter thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So for me, it's Facebook and YouTube, and I use YouTube basically to compensate and to bring more stuff to Facebook, not the other way around.
Let's stop on YouTube for a second and on all the videos that you use.
Sorry, I'm just so machine gunning everything.
No, because I want to stop. I want
to
talk about this for a minute because I think it's something that a lot of artists don't use. And I'd love to know how you kind of came about it and how you use it as a tool to sell, grow, expand your art business.
Right, that's it that I gave you, that girl, Val's Art Diary. I mean, as soon as I saw that, I just went like,
What do you think are the most effective kinds of videos? Are they demos? Are they videos just of people's art? Are they all of the above?
It depends. I mean, demos are great. They get the highest views. But also, don't forget that you're getting the highest views with people that want to paint, not necessarily buy your painting.
Right.
You know, so I think that's a good thing for you to do. I'm going to do some of those. I've done mostly my own stuff, but I did a video about how to pack a paint for shipping internationally, and that's going pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But demos is good. But I would say show your surroundings, show your studio, make videos about your life, because I think for people to buy things from you, they first have to know you, who you are, and see if they really relate to you as a person and your work. And there's nothing better than a video. I mean, look at us. When we watch TV, a new series comes, and after a week or two of watching that series, we feel like we know the characters.
Right.
Like Two and a Half Men, you feel like Charlie Sheen is your cousin by a month or two of watching.
You've got him in
and
your family, too.
Right. That's the power of video.
This is killing me. Why did I never think about doing a video of, like, my carriage house, my new studio? God, I've talked about it enough. I've taken photographs, but why can't I get my – it's crazy that I've never done that.
Well, and
so you have so much to inform people, and you're both mm-hmm. really highly entertaining. You'll be a success. I think so.
We'll see. But, no, but it's such a great idea. Setting a goal to use video to help people get to know the artist is a wonderful idea, and there's so many things that you can do.
I think that's the the best way to go about it, to be honest, and to show the process of you painting the paintings.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the magic, because they don't see it. They just see the final product.
Right.
When they get to see the magic behind the scenes, you know, if we feel as good as we do watching it happening and doing it, so do other people. And you shouldn't be shy. And another thing I want to say is when you start making videos, I started mine in the closet. My studio is in the closet, like a wardrobe.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be shy of your surroundings. Start
Absolutely.
With what you have. And
I
it's
think
nice for
you
people
could...
to come and... Sorry.
I was just going to say, there are so many people out there that don't have a huge, big studio. They paint in a small space. And how inspiring would it be to see someone who's very successful with some limitations with their studio? I mean, that would be so inspiring, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I started in the closet. Now, finally, yeah, the studio is amazing for me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice to see the people that grew up with me in this art career, let's call it. And it's amazing because you bring everybody together and go, oh, a new studio. Oh, this is so awesome. Look at this part. Look at this.
Right.
Look at that. A little bit like your carriage house. You see, I feel like I know you already, like just by listening to a radio show. So imagine if it was a video.
Mm-hmm. So
That's how, yeah.
Do you do videos Sorry. That just show your artwork?
Yeah. Well, inspirational. Mainly I try to share the message of my work. I mean, since today we're not here to talk about my art in general, and it's about marketing, that's mainly the video that I do is to connect to my collectors. The intention was never in the beginning to have a crazy viral video. It was more of I want to show you what I'm doing behind the scenes. This year I'm going to try and do something that could expand, you know, shorter videos, because my videos are like 9-10 minutes and most people
have attention span probably a lot less.
Exactly.
I'm going to interrupt you here, Rick, and I apologize, but for people who have
not
seen your videos, they need to go to your website and watch. Rick has a lot of videos, and they're like mini movies. They are. I'm interested even for you to expand on that a little bit, Rick, because your movies are not, you know, as I call them movies, they are not just
videos.
They're not just turning a flip video on and letting it run. I can tell that they're edited. They're put together. Sometimes they're fast action. They're interwoven. I remember one I watched actually had you out in the woods with your dog, and then it was kind of a little bit of your routine of how the painting comes about. But they're very much engaging, and they're very much like I feel like I'm getting to see a slice of your life. And I think that's very much lends to, you know, when I land on your website and I see your hook line, which is where thoughts become paintings, and I'm looking at the artwork and kind of the mystery within them and the fact that they make you think deeply, and then there are videos to go watch that support what you have on there, it becomes a full-bodied experience. And it's really amazing, because it is that thing of connecting online, because we're removing that element of me being able to walk into a gallery opening and actually see the art in person and meet you in person. And so the video does – your videos, I think, really do an impressive job of bridging that gap. Can you tell us a little bit about your process? Do you set the camera up and let it run the whole time when you're, like, doing a painting and then go back and do a lot of editing? Do you have help on that?
No, it's all self-made. What I do is I put the camera in a good position and just press record, and then it's hours of movies. And during the week, after my painting hours, usually from 4 to 7, I start editing them. It's a lot of work, basically.
Well, as good things often are. But then those are the kind of things, when you do them, they can be around 2 or 3 years from now or later working for you on your behalf.
Absolutely, yeah.
Completely. Time well spent, yeah. And something else I want to ask.
I'm assuming you use iMovie to do it.
Hmm?
I'm assuming you use iMovie for your editing.
Yes, that's another thing I was going to say. Whatever money comes your way, invest in good stuff like Apple computers, <You know? laughs> iPhones, iPads. I mean, all those things are going to make your life a lot easier. But at least they make mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to
you
do
know,
a
editing.
Show on Apple.
I mean, yeah, exactly. I should be paid. I don't know how much. So many apples. Yeah. Because, you know, you have iPhoto. I mean, how easy is that to use? And
yeah.
iMovie, it's pretty easy also.
It
also,
really is.
You know, for the people out there that feel that this is a big monster with seven heads, you have to think that all of those, we had to learn it.
Yeah.
And it takes time, but you can do it. If someone can do it, you can do it also. It's just it's willpower, I guess.
Just plunging it, taking
really
the plunge.
Yeah, they really make it easy for you to learn also. So it's not that complicated.
Well, I wanted to ask, Rick, while we were on the topic earlier, too, of you saying that with social media that you kind of have settled in on one, because obviously there's LinkedIn, there's Google+, there's Facebook, there's Twitter, there's the list goes on of different ways to connect with people online.
Right.
I know this, obviously, we're just going to briefly touch because we'll have you back for another show on this one. But I know that you were the one, the first artist that I saw that was really engaging in using Google+. And kind of where are you at on that now in comparison to what you're doing on Facebook?
Oh, but that's my evil plan. I can't talk about it.
Oh, aha. I knew the pirate was going to come out here at some point in time.
No, I'll just say this. The only thing I really am focusing on Google Plus right now, it's the Hangouts.
Okay.
I think it's a great way to give your collectors a present. You schedule a Hangout, say with the nine people, nine of your collectors, and you spend, you make a whole painting in front of them, and they live in different parts of the country, and I think that's a nice gift. That's one of the things I'm doing. Yeah.
Wait, can you explain this? Because some of us haven't quite made the jump yet to Google+.
It's a secret list.
Okay.
I know.
I
know, but explain it for our listeners who aren't familiar. How's that?
You're not asking for yourself. You're asking for the legion of listeners. That is so, go ahead.
Well, for example, you two, you have workshops. In one way, you could have live cyber workshops in Hangouts with eight people. That's an idea for you. If you're into it, like some fan from Japan that really wants to learn how to paint with a palette knife, you can schedule a hangout. And with a good camera, you can basically do a workshop. Yeah.
Okay, Dream, I don't think I'm supposed to have pages of notes during our show.
amazing.
The possibilities are crazy, you know.
Wow.
How much time do you spend on Google+ versus Facebook?
Like I said, I focus on the winner.
Pardon?
I focus on the winner. I'm going to get all the haters now. No, I spend my time on Facebook because it's where it worked for me and, you know.
Yeah.
And G+, it's Twitter, G+. I have automatic shares it's pretty much automatic. I use the Hangouts because Facebook hasn't come up with it yet. Otherwise, I wouldn't bother either. The thing with G+, it's highly intellectual there. It's good for artists to hang out. The content is bigger. The posts are bigger, longer. People are more focused. It's not so cluttered with things like Facebook. Yeah, it's more of a elitist. Is that how you say it?
Elitist.
Mm-hmm.
Elitist. Yeah.
Got a quick question from one of our listeners who wants to know what kind of camera you use for your videos.
Right. Okay. The first one is my Mac. So I had to turn my whole Mac towards the easel.
So
that was
your webcam.
Yeah. And that was a bit of a nightmare. And then I invested on an iPhone. So I started with the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
Then.
Do you put your iPhone in the little holder on a tripod?
Yes, but now I bought Nikon D500, $5,100.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a much better quality now. So, with painting money.
With painting money. All.
Yes. One habit funds another.
Thank you, collectors.
I've got so much stuff I want to ask you, Rick, as obviously our listeners are calling in, too. One of the things, Leslie and I both, are daily painters, and so we work a lot in small formats as far as what we're selling online. Large formats, too. So how have you overcome the perceived barriers to selling artwork online, especially the larger pieces?
Well, it comes down to trust, and giving them options. And the best option for that is giving their money back. That's one thing that I do, and it leaves them pretty safe. Also, don't forget, since you have Facebook, if you screw up, they can always go there and make a fuss about it. Everybody will know you're ruined. You'll never sell a painting again.
Mm-hmm.
So social media actually makes people feel safer also. It's how you think. Another thing that I do is I put myself on the line and I go, okay, you can pay this slowly. So I make a subscribe PayPal plan.
You make a what?
Like a PayPal plan where people can make it in payments.
Yeah, paying installments. Like right now I have 11 installments. So if you have to pay 3,000 euros, you can do that. Well, I get 300 euros more. Let's call that interest because of being slow payment.
Right.
So that's 11 payments on 300 euros. That's 3,300 euros.
And
if
do you,
you
ship
now,
the
you
painting before they pay in full or after?
Yeah, that's a tricky bit. As soon as they send me the first payment, that goes for shipping money because I also offer free shipping.
Mm-hmm.
So the painting goes and they have to sign a contract.
Mm-hmm.
But I send them via email. But, you know, it's for safety, but it's not
100%.
Sure, so I put myself on the line. The fact is, because I can choose who I sell to. So if they're not on social media, if there's no way I can, you know, look at the behavior a little bit, see if they're funny looking or, you know, not funny looking, but you know what I mean.
Right.
Like, well, you're a bit of a skank or I don't know.
Yeah.
Then I don't sell. But if they look like, you know, nice fellows, good guys, good persons, and then I go, okay, I'll sell it to you and I hope you don't screw me, basically. And it hasn't happened, so fantastic. When it happens, I'll quit this payment thing.
Right.
Well, but it will be balanced out by all the people that didn't do it. That's
exactly
that's those things. Years ago, you do. Well, I used to. I had a studio years ago that was like in a tourist area. And sometimes people would walk in and pay by check, and I never got a bad check. And obviously, the possibility for that always existed. But I always used to joke and say that usually people that are buying art are not the ones in there trying to swipe it and go resell it. They actually want it, so they're not trying to.
What happens to me most of the time? I just subscribe installments. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
The people eventually, as soon as they have more money, they pay it off.
Pay it off
quickly.
That's
happened many times. You know, they get like one, two, three payments, and then they get tired of it and just, oh, now I have money. Okay, poof. You know. So, I don't know. I don't advise people to do that because it's my own thing. But it works. Yes, it does.
It's one of those barriers for overcoming large painting sales online. If it's a bigger payment, obviously the price goes up significantly, and so it's a good way to work with people, I think, on it. It is.
Right, and I also think that there's so many people out there now painting small paintings that it's actually good for you to, you know, don't stop making the small paintings, but at least once a, you know, for me, like at least once a week, make a large painting and put it for sale because, you know, there are people with money or if they don't have the money, they'll get the money because they love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they'll find a way.
That's true.
Just as I found a way to get a camera or equipment that I want, you know, you'll find a way.
Very true. Are there any other things you've done to instill buyer confidence for purchasing art online? I mean, obviously, your payment plan is a great idea.
Yeah, the main thing basically it never happens before they get to know me for a while, and that while I mean it could be a year online. You know, it could be barely and rarely it's a month thing.
Right.
So it's people that I've been dealing with for a while that know, like, okay, this guy's for real. He's here. He's not going to do anything funny. That's how it works.
Right.
It's a slow thing. I mean, the social thing is actually social. So we can't forget that. And we can't start this business in Facebook and things like that and expect success in a week.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time. And that's why I think some people don't believe on it because they get dismotivated after a month or two. And I think you really have to keep pushing it.
Right.
And suddenly the floodgates open because once one buys it, believe me, a lot more will, especially when they talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Just got to stick to it.
Very, very true.
Well, this has been a wonderful show.
We have a lot of work to do.
I've really, I've really enjoyed your sharing, Rick. That's one of the reasons I was so looking forward to having you on the show, because having watched you online and your site and looked at your videos and stuff, I knew that you would have some fresh perspective to bring with your way of doing things. And that's the beautiful thing about artists sharing with other artists, is because sometimes many of us have missed an opportunity on, someone else comes along and says, why don't you do it this way? And all of a sudden we all have that, the aha moment, you know. I don't know why I didn't think of it before.
I hope I helped, and I hope everybody can understand my accent and stuff like that.
You know, it's good that I'm on this call. That's all I can say, because, you know, I'm not going to have the accent.
And also,
kidding.
I'm not very good with phones.
This is fantastic. Are you kidding?
It's been wonderful. I do want to share with our listeners that Rick did call in today on his dime from Sweden to be on AHA with us, and we so appreciate that.
That's right.
And gave of his time and his money by being online with us this long. But it has been wonderful, and I urge everyone to go to the post that we have today, and you will see the access to go to his website, and he's got testimonials on there from customers. He has the videos, and then he has the new book coming out. But there's going to be a big excerpt there that you can read for free that actually covers his work process, a lot of what we've talked about today. Very generous on your part, Rick, and we certainly, certainly appreciate it.
You're most welcome. About the book, just quickly, I don't know if I'm going to write it. It depends on how many people subscribe out of interest.
I already did, just so you know. I already
all right,
I know. And I will, I promise.
I got 20 or so, because, you know, you got a lot of questions, but writing a book is going to take a huge chunk of time, so I've done a long, long chapter. And then, you know, if I get a good response from it, if people really want it, then I'll actually do it.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's been a pleasure to do this show.
Well, thank you so much, and we will hopefully we'll have you back for some other things, including Google Plus, when we get up to speed on that. So.
Cool. Perfect.
You're on our radar now, Rick. So
that's right.
Too late.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank
it's been
you.
Wonderful.
Okay,
bye.
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 Bye-bye.